Welcome to the Pregnancy Help Podcast. I'm Christine Grimmett, and I'm here at Heartbeat International's annual conference. We are in Salt Lake City recording this episode today for you all. We've got our virtual conference happening. It's been an exciting week. As of this recording, it's Friday of conference, so we have our last handful of workshops today, and people are excited for the banquet tonight. It's always a wonderful time, and so just a reminder, we have some workshop recordings and keynotes available from the conference, in addition to all of the wonderful offerings from Heartbeat Academy. Our online academy has lots of training, media training, client services, leadership, all kinds of things. And so I'll link to Heartbeat Academy as well, because that is a great place to keep that education going all year round. So with that, I'm going to turn things over first to Beth Diemert. She's our Director of Affiliate Services here at Heartbeat International.
Thank you so much, Christine. It's always a pleasure to be a part of Pregnancy Help Podcast, one of my favorite places to be. And I'm really thrilled this morning to be with some really special guests who are with us here at the conference. We, since Dobbs with our affiliates, have really had a whole lot of change. Now, like somebody might go, right? Because it's pretty evident that that's been the case. But I'm so appreciative of those who are helping us to navigate that change. Particularly in the area of the states, their legislation, what's happening, changing laws, new things being introduced. And this morning, we have the incredible privilege of having Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler with us to share her experience. She has a real passion for our pregnancy centers, and it's her heart's desire to help us navigate this well. Her friend and longtime colleague, Leanna Baumer, has brought her to conference, and they're about to have a conversation that we're going to get to listen into. And so for our affiliates, this will be so helpful in order to understand how to work with elected officials in your state, how to really understand and navigate through some of that new legislation, how to work with the perhaps AG in your state, as all of that is unfolding as well. So Vicki, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here, Beth. Thank you for having me.
And Leanna, thank you for being here and for bringing such an incredible guest to the podcast.
Well, it's a delight to be here at conference and really to be seeing such a diverse crowd of individuals amongst our 1,300 attendees who have backgrounds in medicine and law and education and social work and counseling, and really a reflection of the breadth and depth of the pregnancy help movement. And as Beth said, Congresswoman Hartzler has her own unique vantage point on the needs of women and families, as she has served for the past two decades in various public policy roles. And we're excited to glean from her expertise in public policy. Most recently, Congresswoman Hartzler represented Missouri's 4th Congressional District for 12 years in the United States House of Representatives. But before that season, Congresswoman Hartzler, you were a mom and a farmer and a business owner. And we'd love to hear you share a little bit more about how you first encountered the pro-life movement, when you first started thinking about the needs of women facing an unexpected pregnancy, and how that shaped some of your subsequent work.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was a sophomore in child development class when it really, the light bulb came on about what abortion really was, because the teacher was showing the pictures of the various stages of baby development from 5 weeks where the heart starts beating and then on up. And I just realized, wait a minute, that's really what abortion stops. That's a baby in there. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't be for that. I'm pro-life. And then several years later, after I was married, my husband and I found out we couldn't have children, and that was really, really devastating and heartbreaking, because I was a high school teacher at that time, and I was aware of several students who had abortions, and it just broke my heart knowing that that baby was wanted, that there are millions of couples out there who would be happy to give that forever home to that child. And as a Christian, knowing that God had a plan and a purpose for that life, and how all of us are worse off because that person is not here contributing in some way. And about that time, our church and some people in our community heard about formations of the crisis pregnancy centers and said, hey, why don't we start one here in our town where girls who are facing an unexpected pregnancy could go and get some help, could get some counseling and support. And so I jumped in on helping them along with others and formed that crisis pregnancy center that's still going today and has saved dozens of lives. I don't know the final stats, but it's doing good work. And then I became aware of a maternity home being formed in Kansas City area. And I thought that was really a great idea where some girls are faced with that choice. Either you have the abortion or we're kicking you out of the house. There's no place for them to go. And so I went and toured that place as part of my being a high school teacher, took some of my students there to see it, and it ended up being a place where one of my students got to go and live. She was faced with that situation when she got pregnant, and her mom said, either you have that abortion or I'm kicking you out. And good news there, she was able to not only go ahead and have the baby and finish high school, but she married the father of the child, and they went on to have other children and things. So I've long had a passion for helping young women and in making sure that life has an opportunity to live, and being very supportive of adoption. And in the end, my husband and I were able to adopt, and I can attest to the fact that every child is precious, every child is loved and deserves to live. And so I, as a state rep and then as a member of Congress, that's certainly been a passion of mine. It's a life and death issue that I want to impact and have wanted to work on to make sure every life has a chance to live.
And you were a significant part of the overhaul, really overhaul of adoption laws in Missouri during your time in the State House. And many children have found forever homes because of your work there. We're thankful for your leadership. So tell us more, as you transitioned into the U.S. House of Representatives, how these convictions and values shaped your approach to legislating and policymaking. Tell us more about that season.
Yeah, well, you can only do so much as one member of Congress. And so you have to think, what are some issues that during my time here, you don't know how long it's going to be, but what do you, Lord, want me to champion? And certainly he's, as a Christian, he's the Lord of my life, and I serve him ultimately. So, you know, in praying about what do you want me to do here, certainly standing up for life has been one of the top priorities throughout Congress, and seeing how we can advance that cause. And so it's been a blessing over the 12 years I was there to be able to sponsor legislation, supporting life, making sure no taxpayers' dollars went to Planned Parenthood, making sure there was a life at conception as an amendment to our Constitution. I supported that, and banning abortion at various stages in various ways. You know, there's multiple pieces of legislation we worked on. When I was a state representative in the 90s, I got the idea, and it was the Holy Spirit, I guess, saying, what can we do to save lives? Well, why don't we give women the ability to see the baby, the sonogram, before having an abortion? And it was just an idea I thought I came up with. And so I wrote and introduced legislation. And it was I was in the minority party at that time. We didn't get it passed, but that was something I was able to champion. And it's been so fun to see, you know, the Holy Spirit works across the country and through his people everywhere, to see others actually, you know, introduce similar legislation and pass it. And now that there are many states where women do have that privilege of seeing it. So we just stood where we could. There was a saying from Thomas Jefferson that meant a lot to me in my time of service, where it said, on matters of style, swim with the current. On matters of principle, stand like a rock. Mm-hmm. And I like that, because there are certain things that I'm like, okay, what are my principles? What am I going to stand on? Well, I'm not going to change a life issue. There's other issues we voted on where you could debate or be flexible in the style, how it's passed. Do you do so much this time and come back next year, whatever? But as far as the life issue, you just stand and do everything possible.
And that's a word of encouragement to those in our movement. We have to do a lot of standing like rocks in this cultural moment. Going back to your time in Missouri working with pregnancy help organizations, Missouri is a state with a robust coalition that has networked pregnancy help organizations in the state and continues to advocate for pregnancy centers and maternity homes and pregnancy medical clinics. What has the Alliance for Life done well in Missouri to tell the story of community-based pregnancy help? And tell us more about how you interacted with pregnancy help organizations, both as a state representative and as a member of Congress.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was a state representative, the Alliance wasn't quite as active back in the 90s, but now it is doing a lot more. And as I talk to state legislators, as well as the leaders of the Alliance, I'm really grateful for their work. They go to the Capitol and testify on a lot of bills that deal with life in Missouri. And the politics of Missouri has changed over the years. So now we have a pro-life majority. And because of that, we have a couple of amazing laws that other states are actually trying to replicate. One has a 70% tax credit for giving money to a maternity home or pregnancy help center. And that has been a huge help to fundraising for these centers, where somebody can give $100 and $70 of that is taken off their taxes. And so it's really only a $30 contribution. And so that has helped. And then they passed legislation. This is after I left, called Alternatives to Abortion, and where they actually, through the legislature, appropriate money through grants that is given to the pregnancy help centers and others. The budget this year is $8.2 million coming from the Missouri government. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, I understand, is funneling the federal TANF monies through and pushing them out through the Pregnancy Help Center grants. But this has enabled the Pregnancy Help Centers to provide housing, transportation, clothing, rent, a lot of practical helps for women so that they can carry that baby till term. And so the Alliance for Missouri has been very helpful for that. They go down once a year and visit their state legislators, go around the Capitol, maybe bring some of their clients and their children to show them the actual results of the good work and why it's important to keep those programs. So I'm very grateful for what they do in our state.
And we are thankful for states like Missouri and others who look at the entire circumstances of women facing an unexpected pregnancy, and instead of offering abortion as the only solution, want to care for her holistically with resources in those areas you mentioned, housing and parenting support and resource support. Missouri certainly stands out as a state where those needs are being met in unique and creative ways. Going to fall back up on one of the comments you made about visiting legislators, many Heartbeat affiliates may not have ever interacted with a state legislator or a member of Congress and may be a little intimidated by that idea. Give us some additional perspective on why that's important to tell the story of pregnancy help with our public officials, and how you would encourage perhaps a pregnancy help organization who's never done that before to get in the game of telling their story to more people in the public square.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, elected officials should be public servants, not politicians. And remember, they work for you. And so they need to get to know you because they represent you, and they should serve your best interest. And so don't be intimidated by them. They depend on you to be elected, and they work for you. And so a state representative, you know, I certainly when they're in the area, I'd invite them to try to come and see, tour, and they're always looking for places to go, people to meet. So invite them to come. Of course, you can call them up, you can email them, but try to get them, see them in person too. And if you don't know them, you know, go to an event where they're going to be. Maybe they're at a Chamber of Commerce, First Friday Coffee or something. Be present, introduce yourself, and be around a lot where they are. And, you know, reintroduce yourself multiple times so they know that you're there. Invite them to come. And if you can set up a meeting with them, either in their local office or go down to the state capitol, and tell your story, because they don't know. If they don't know, then they can't advocate, and it makes it harder for them to oppose you. So if they are pro-choice, if they've met you and looked you in the eye and you've been friendly and kind and professional and you've shared with them the facts, the numbers, a lot of politicians or public servants care about the money. And if you look how much we have saved the taxpayer with the through the services, how many women, how many of your constituents we have helped, they're going to view you as a positive force, and it's going to be harder for them to criticize you too behind your back or during debate if they've met you. And then you show up again at their next event with your smile and with your positive stories. So the same with the federal level. They have, of course, their offices in Washington, D.C., but then like I had three offices within my district and district staff, so you could go there in person and visit with the staff. And I would say don't underestimate the power of the staff. And Leanna, you were part of my staff for many years, and I can attest, you know, you're amazing. But as a elected official, I relied on you and to give me advice and help. And many times the staff members, the ones that actually meets with the people and reads all of the material and then briefs the member of Congress. So be very nice to the staff people and develop relationships with them. And that'll go a long ways to helping your cause.
Yeah, that's great advice. Sharing stories, sharing statistics, being present, building those relationships, both in the district or at the Capitol. And I want to follow up on something you shared with me earlier, that during your time as a representative in the U.S. House of Representatives, you actually proactively reached out to every pregnancy center in your district. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about those visits, what you saw, what surprised you as you visited all the centers in your district, which was a big district.
Well, yeah, 24 counties, but I loved it. And I wanted to be an encourager as well as their representative to support them, let them know I'm in their corner, because I know it's not easy. And so I told my staff, let's try to visit when I'm back in the district, everyone. So they set up the meetings, but it was a wonderful blessing. Each one was different, but they all provided such wonderful services for the women. Many of them gave away diapers or they had clothes there. And I enjoyed hearing about how they had the parenting classes and they earned parent bucks or whatever that they could then use, which I like that concept too, of teaching them, you know, to work and to value what they give rather than just to give away. But then many of them had the ultrasound machines and different sizes, different locations. But it was a blessing to get to go. And I hope I was an encouragement to the workers and to the people there as well.
Let me just jump in and say what a wonderful support that is. And on behalf of the pregnancy centers, thank you so much. They fight hard, as you know, and to have somebody actually in an elected official position come into the center and appreciate what they do is so, so helpful. We really appreciate that. And I want that to be an encouragement to our centers too, to know that there are people on their side, that there can be these visits. And with you being, of course, so pro-life, it's a beautiful thing. But I've heard many stories post-ops of inviting in those who don't share our mindset. But the impact it has had, because they hear a lot of comments like, I had no idea, or this is not what I expected. And so that personal visit and connection is so important. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something I think you could offer the members too. Reach out to them and say, hey, we'd be willing to set up a tour of the district of all the pregnancy care centers. We could call it a Winning for Women tour, or We Love Babies tour, or whatever. And you offer to do that to them and give them a schedule. And you could go here, you could go there and present it to them. Because staff is always looking for places for them to go. And, yeah, that might be the hook to get them in there where they can actually see what the good stuff going on.
It's a great point. And not every elected official is going to do what you did and proactively reach out. And so it's a reminder to our affiliates to take that step to get to know the staff in the district offices, if it's a federal official, or in that local office, if it's a state official, and invite them in. Invite them in to see what you're doing. Don't assume even that those who do generally support this work understand the work.
Well, and I would add too, you know, you've got two basic audiences. I mean, you've got the members of Congress or the legislature who are not pro-life normally, but they're pro-women. And if you can portray yourself, hey, we've got a women's center here that's helping a lot of women and babies come see. So you have a different approach there. But I would say it's just as important to reach out to your pro-life legislators because they are battling on your behalf and it is not easy sometimes. And for you to reach out and to thank them too, it's helpful, or give them an award. Maybe it's just a little certificate in a frame or whatever, but that bolsters them too in the battle because they could sit back. They could be tired in that debate and like, oh, let somebody else do it. But if they just met with you, they've seen you and you've appreciated what them, then that's going to give them the energy and courage to keep battling for you.
Yeah, it's a great point. The theme of the conference this week here in Salt Lake City is United for Life, and we need all wings of the movement in this fight to be that rock in mm-hmm. the rushing currents of our cultural moment. And we need those who have more public roles encouraged and bolstered in their roles. So it's a great reminder that we can be part of lifting up their arms in this work. Following up on that, what is one or two things that you wish more legislators or policymakers understood about the work of pregnancy help? Mm. Not everyone, like we've said, has done the work you've done to get to know the movement. But as you think about some of your colleagues and the debates and policymaking conversations you've had on these issues, what is something that our organizations and affiliates could do a better job of making public officials aware of with regards to the work we do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the aftercare thing, a lot of people are not aware of. They think, oh, they just stop them from having abortions, rather than, of course, giving all the support. But the post-baby, too, the clothes closet you have, the parenting classes, the continued ongoing support for that woman. I remember once when I was a state legislator, a comment made by a pro-choice legislator to me, I had offered an amendment, which was totally unrelated to life. It was just bizarre. But anyway, I spoke on the House floor against something she was doing and called for a vote. Anyway, it ended up killing her amendment. I don't remember the details, but I went forward to get a printout at the front dais of the vote count, and she was there too. And she turned around and she just very mad, hatefully said to me, "Oh, you pro-life people, you want the babies to come, but you don't care about taking care of them afterwards." Mm-hmm. And I was like, first of all, it was a bizarre comment because the issue we were discussing wasn't even about babies. But, you know, I was just kind of stunned, and I went back to my seat, but sat down and thought about it. But I thought, wow, she has no idea the support that the pregnancy care centers and pro-life people, what we give to women. It's not, and she would be an example of a lot of people don't understand how we're there for the woman too. It's just not saving the babies. So I think the more stats, the more stories you can share, and the testimonials are what's most powerful, because you can be portrayed as, they're trying to portray pregnancy care centers now as coercing and being deceptive to women. But hearing directly from someone who's experienced that, their story, that just rebuts all those allegations. So sharing those stories.
And it's a great reminder that even those who may not vote the way we wish they would on matters of life and family policy, can be influenced by sharing those stories and that information. And certainly as Heartbeat has had a number of years of organizing our Babies Go to Congress event, we're visiting all sorts of offices with that event to share those stories and those statistics of how we're there with all sorts of wraparound care, job coaching, medical assistance, relationship coaching, resource assistance for families well beyond birth. And that's a story we need to continue to tell, even if we're not in front of the most friendly of audiences. Mm-hmm. So that's a great reminder. You've been here at conference for just a day or so, but this is your first conference, Heartbeat Conference. We're so glad you could join us. As you've seen a representation of just a smattering of Heartbeat's 3,500 global affiliates, pregnancy help organizations from around the world here this week, what stood out most to you about your time here?
Well, I think the diversity, too, of just the people here from different affiliates, like you said in the introduction, the people who are on the medical field here and on the side of helping the baby care afterwards, but then the mother care. But I was struck by how many people from across the world. That's why you're called International, Heartbeat International. But I tend to just have focused on Missouri and the good work going on there. But it was so encouraging to me to know that there are courageous, caring, compassionate, competent people all over the world that are fighting for life and standing up for God's children. And that is just so, so encouraging.
Yeah, it is a truly global picture here with Heartbeat being in over 90 countries now and uniting arms with people facing many of the same challenges. It may be other countries, but some of the same political challenges, some of the same political attacks, the same need to educate our constituencies about the work we're doing. Beth mentioned that we are in a unique cultural moment post-Dobbs, and the pregnancy center movement, pregnancy help movement is under more scrutiny than it has been in many years. We're seeing state and federal leaders even holding press conferences in front of pregnancy centers, lobbing baseless attacks, labeling our work in various ways, lying about what we do. So for many of our affiliates, they're navigating this new territory, and we want to encourage all of you to not cede the narrative of your work to one voice that's the loudest voice. We want to lend our voice to telling the story of our work in the public square. As you think about this cultural moment, what gives you hope when you think about the fight for life, the fight to support moms and dads with real care, with holistic care when they're facing an unexpected pregnancy? Even as we see abortion expanding in so many states right now, what gives you hope given your perspective as a policymaker, as someone who's been supportive of pregnancy help as you look at the moment we're in now?
Sure. Well, right. There's an old saying, right makes might. Mm-hmm. And you can lie about somebody for a long time, but the truth ultimately prevails. And right is on our side. We're doing good work. We're doing God's work. And ultimately, that's what gives me hope, is that he is greater than any force that's there. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. And so we are in a battle, but I've been reviewing the Ephesians 6, and I think this is the time to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and to put on the full armor of God, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces in heavenly places. And so therefore we're supposed to put on our full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and I would say that day of evil has come, then we will be able to take our stand. And so that, but as we put on all of those things that they talk about there, the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, all of those things, and ultimately our weapons, as 2 Corinthians 10 says, are not of this world, but they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And Paul says we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And that is our hope, and we just need to wield our weapons and to stand strong in the Lord and to not be a wimp, not to cower. We should be strong as Christians and know that we're going to have opposition, but God is on our side. And so now's the time to be bold. Might makes right makes might. And You know, the verse also says, don't grow weary in doing good, for you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. So now's not the time to give up. We're not of those that shrink back. And ultimately we prevail. And as you look at also polling, I am encouraged how younger people are actually becoming more pro-life. And I think part of that is because they are seeing the ramifications, even themselves personally, or someone they know. And as you look at the rise of chemical abortions, and you think about how devastating that is, you talk to and hear stories of the women who have gone through that. They are traumatized. So we're starting to walk through a whole generation of young people, young women who have been traumatized through that experience. They don't want to talk about it, but it's real. And because of that, there's a real opportunity to reach out to them in love and say, we understand, we know, and we're here. So be proactive, be strong, don't back down, and God will be with you.
That's a great word of encouragement and a call to be steadfast in our calling, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to not be daunted by name calling, to not doubt the rightness of our cause, the rightness of our work, the importance of being a voice for the voiceless. We're so thankful you could be here with us this week.
Too.
Thanks for sharing some of your stories with us. And we're so thankful that you've been a voice for life in so many spheres.
Yeah, let me just affirm that, Leanna. What a fresh breath and wind it is to know that folks like you, Vicki, exist, right? And as you're in your center and you're leading amidst all of this hostility, to realize that there are those that are in Congress, those in state representatives that believe exactly what you just said and are practicing it. So thank you for that encouragement. It means a lot to our affiliates. Thanks for being here. I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. There are great things yet to come, even in this day, and we're really thankful you can experience those with us.
Thank you, Beth. It's a blessing to be here.
All right. Thank you all so much. To our listeners, if you found this helpful, please share this with someone else in your community who's working in pregnancy help and would also find this beneficial. There's so many wonderful practical ways to connect with your congressmen and women. And so let's keep getting the word out about the great work of the pregnancy help movement. And with that, we wish you all a great rest of your day. And thanks for listening to this episode of the Pregnancy Help Podcast.